There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 419. April 8th, 2010, Stephen.
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Marin Cameron Karting, and they are proud to present the 2010 Jim Russell NorCal Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG karts, engines, parts for all karts, engine service driver training, and trackside support to Northern California karters. Check them out at marinkarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steve. On today's program, is Red Bull cheating with their suspension? Active or not?
Of course. If you're in Formula One, you're cheating. Come on. Sorry. You're talking over you, aren't I?
My God, Madge. Sorry. Michelin coming back in 2011. Could that be good or bad? Can Ferrari turn it around? And of course, Motorsports Mondial with the Swami, the guru, the meditating dude himself, Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
No, I'm absolutely charmed with all this goofy news that I see. Suspensions going up, suspensions going down.
And then we get an off week, and like they start coming out of the woodwork.
First, they're talking ratcheting devices. Next, compressed gas that heats and cools.
And yeah, aren't most shock absorbers made with compressed gas?
Yes. Most of them, nitrogen, I believe, but
gases are fluids, depending on the...
I'm not sure, but who, you know, these people are either complaining or copying, because those are the two choices.
Yeah, it's kind of, the guys who've kind of figured out what they're doing are copying, the guys who can't figure it out are the ones who are complaining.
Correct, and of course McLaren is saying that they're going to have some kind of suspension activity for the next race.
Why would you tell anybody that?
But that's the way it is over there. Even if you don't have it, they're going to all go look. And see, it's the power of suggestion. Even if you don't have it, if you suggest it, people will see the suspension lower.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh.
Trust me.
Look, their car stays at the same height, whether it's full of fuel or not.
Well, that's another question. You know, the Citroëns with the hydropneumatic suspension had a self-leveling system. No matter how much weight you put in the car, it always rode at the same height, Stephen. But that was just good French engineering.
So is that why Renault's doing so well so far this season?
Huh? What? Yeah. Keep up the good work, Steve. But anyway, the FIA has told Formula One teams that any self-leveling damper system, and I love when I hear the word damper, it's back. Yeah. Michelin's coming back. Dampers are back. I'm feeling good. Any self-leveling damper system used to regulate the ride height of a car between qualifying and the race during a Grand Prix weekend would be deemed illegal, against the law, verboten. So... But what if it's naturally occurring, like a flower losing its petals?
What if someone's developed an anti-gravity system that they've placed in the bottom of the car that basically creates this cushion of anti-gravity between the car and the ground, so it's always the same height?
Okay, I'll wake you up in a couple of minutes, Stephen. But
too much science fiction this week.
The FIA gave the RB6 the all clear after a thorough inspection during the weekend. But rival teams have suggested that Red Bull may have found a way to achieve the effect without the use of a mechanical system.
Anti-gravity.
But another line in the communication suggests that any such solution may also be outlawed. Furthermore, we believe that any self-leveling damper system is likely to contravene Article 3, Section 15 of the Technical Regulations.
Steve, see, that's the one thing that drives me nuts with modern Formula One. Is it someone comes up with a brilliant innovation, and what do they want to do? They want to take it out of the sport.
Well, that's what happened. I mean, we saw that happening to Renault when Ferrari was freaking out.
Yeah, the mesh damper. That was brilliant.
It was brilliant, and it was actually old technology.
Yeah, it was basically updated to fit the application.
Correct. So I think we're going to hear a lot more about this, Stephen.
If they can figure out...
It's the repeat of the mass dappers.
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever they're doing is working in some methodology as... I suppose you might be able to get away with something... Do Formula One cars actually use shock absorbers in the traditional sense?
Yes.
So maybe they've developed a shock absorber that...
But there are also torsion bars, and really the torsion bars, I think, have a lot more to do with the ride height and tire pressure, of course.
Yeah, so maybe they've come up with a way that's one way you could do it too, is that you could ride on harder tires of the race,
and then
at your second stop, you drop down to something a little softer so the car gets down.
Well, and some of that is being done, absolutely, but that's legal. But they don't want to see any mechanical Scooby-Doos.
But if you have dampers on the car, you know, shock absorbers, you could probably engineer the shock absorbers so that they varied, so that they would vary with load.
Exactly. And I think that's what's going on, Steve. Variable shock absorbers.
Yeah, that's it. They're illegal. It's a mechanical method.
It's illegal, it's mechanical, and it's wrong, Steve. And trust me, if it's Renault powered, they're going to be all over it.
Yeah, exactly. It's Renault powered. It's leading the championship. Oh, get him!
So
it's the pitchforks and the torches and
pretty much. This happened with the Knights Templar.
Yep.
Same thing.
But taking away the mass damper from the Renault didn't really hurt them that season.
No, they can't. They still have the Michelins.
Exactly. On to perfect segue, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you very much. Speaking of Michelins, they might be back, but Michelin has not made a decision. And it's they're pressing that they don't want to be the sole supplier.
Well, the other thing I noticed, too, in the article that I read is that they probably don't mind being sole supplier. But they don't want to basically, you know, we want to get paid for the product. We don't want to give you this stuff for free. It's not cheap for us to make all these tires. And they were also talking about ways of kind of showcasing the tires' technologies and performance and stuff in a way that is beneficial to Michelin.
Exactly. Which makes sense. I mean, why do it for free? Why not get something out of it?
Well, two things. One, don't pony up the... What's an F1 tire cost? $250 a pop or more? You know, and you're looking at what each team gets, four sets of tires. You know, they're literally putting hundreds of tires on the grid each weekend. That, you know, if you're not getting compensated for, that's a pretty hefty chunk of money. Plus the people that you have to hire to support the teams that are on your payroll and not theirs.
You know, those tires could be like more like $1,000 a pop, Steve.
Yeah, so look at that. Over the course of a season, you know, that's more than Michelin would pay just to get their name pasted on the side of a car.
No, I agree. We'll see what happens. It's still not set in stone, but we'll see. I hope that we do have a tire war. Maybe they'll get Yokohama or Kumho or anybody else.
Yeah,
or Dunlop or Avon.
Goodyear, for that matter.
I don't think, you know.
Goodyear's pretty much locked in with... The American Racing Series.
Yeah, and I just don't see them spreading themselves too thin, even though they had great success in Formula One. It was a great, great...
Well, if we have multiple suppliers in a U.S. team, maybe.
U.S. team? What?
U.S. team? Wait, what? Huh?
It's called Hispania Racing. Speaking of Hispania Racing, Colin Coles had congratulated his team after Karun Shandok and Bruno Senna both finished the race.
Which I found quite amazing, considering last ones to the grid and their two compatriots.
Right.
Still haven't gotten two cars across.
Last ones to the grid, but both cars finished the race, albeit a few laps down, but nevertheless, still pretty good stuff, considering where you're at.
Yeah, well, considering the fact that you're basically a brand new car, I think that may be something to say for Dallara, and their design has created a car that's at least robust enough to handle the rigors of a race weekend.
Exactly. Shandok said, "I'm fantastically happy to have finished my second race today after our difficult debut in Bahrain. I kept out of trouble, pitted on lap 17 on lap 45, and I had a tricky moment passing Trulli's Lotus. A great thanks to the team who did a fantastic job, blah, 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 blah." But it's true. They certainly have done a better job than USF1.
Who?
Huh? What? Yes.
The Formula One team that shall not be named.
The Phantom.
The Phantom Formula One team.
Yeah. Australian Grand Prix boss Ron Walker, he went on a rant.
Uh-oh.
He just went out there and started babbling.
Something about Bernie charging him too much?
Well, that's always in the background. But no, he was all pissed off about Formula One drivers... because they were complaining about the lack of visibility because of the change in times of the start of the race. And, you know, it gets a little darker. The sun is setting.
Not his choice.
It's not. But he thought, see, the choice is good for the Australian Grand Prix because the TV revenue is up.
Do they get it? They don't get any of it.
But it doesn't matter. It sounds good. Anyway, he's all mad at most of the F1 drivers. He said some of them are pretty cool. And
one guy with the last name of Weber.
And Walker said, quote, "It's clearly not dangerous," unquote.
Yeah.
He's like 107 years old.
Yeah, well, the fact that obviously it wasn't light that caused any of the accidents in the race, so.
It's true, but I mean, I could see it, you know, you've got a visor, the sun is setting. I mean, I hate driving into the sun.
Well, maybe they could, you know, set up some big, you know, sunshade.
No. I'm thinking little sun visors that flip down over each eye.
Or maybe make a visor out of that lens material that, you know, darkens by itself.
Or how about Polaroid? Remember the Polaroid sunglasses?
Yeah.
Those always worked great. But that's just my professional opinion.
Professional opinion?
Yeah. So anyway, we've got China coming up, Steve. We got a week of a break, which is good. I needed a little break.
Yeah, 2 weekends in a row to start the season, you know, this early in the season. Maybe a little bit stressful, but fun. Two good races in a row, basically.
Oh, are you kidding? Renault finishing fourth. That was a great race last weekend, even though qualifying was out of control, especially with the goof-ups. I enjoyed this race immensely.
Fatale could just get his car across the line.
Yeah, it'll happen.
I noticed that when he talked about it, it said, "We have to finish."
I know. Well, he means his engineers. You know, there's two teams in each team, Steve. And that's an appropriate thing to say.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's fine. But he's right. I mean, the whole team, because I think he had a mechanical issue, Steven.
This time.
Yeah, so let's cut him some slack. And he's got that, you know, manager that's all over him.
Well, that manager you ought to be all over.
No, I can't even remember her name.
I don't recall it either.
Okay, we'll find out. Email us soon.
Fatale's manager's name.
Mercedes. Nick Fry, talk of the town again. He says, don't count us out.
I've already written them off. You know, they hired Schumacher. That means their season was over.
Well, not only that, but Schumacher has not been doing that well. And mechanical failure for them.
Well, having a wheel fall off is not a good thing.
No, I think they're going to... I think that we're going to see more podiums out of them. I think we'll see Schumacher on the podium, and they are going to be much stronger. It's going to take a little while. It's going to be after Monaco.
Yeah, well, you get a team that was in the championship run all the way to the end. There's usually a hangover the following season, just kind of because you've got a little bit of catch up to do. And Braun started last season with such a head start because of, you know, the whole Honda buyout and the fact that Honda had written off their car basically
early,
2 weeks into the season year before.
Because it was such a dog.
Yeah, so you know they got 18, 20 months to develop
the car. Not only that, but a lot of cash when Honda was still developing that car.
Yeah, and now they're, you know, a much more low-budget operation, so it's a little bit more difficult to, you know, you've got to be a lot more careful in the directions you go because you kind of only get to do it once, money-wise.
Yeah. No, but I think Nick Frye's right. Quote, he says, "I think we've got an extremely strong team, and anyone who underestimates us is fairly foolish. We've got excellent people. I would say we still have the best technical leader," of course, talking about Ross Brawn, and I think he's absolutely right.
I think, frankly, of the team principals on the grid today, he's probably numero uno. You know, he's got the most, you know, he's got the heaviestly laden shelf in his den.
Absolutely. So I think Mercedes will come back. Nico Rosberg and Schumacher, I think, are a good team.
Well, they've got to chase down Red Bull just like everybody else. And so they need to get some pace pretty quick. Because if Red Bull can continue to develop and keep their technical, you know, their performance lead that they seem to have at the moment, they're going to be tough to catch.
No, I agree. And not only that, but you've got Force India, who, you know, is talking, sticking with the top 10, which is not ridiculous.
No.
And now you have Renault, they're doing, you know, top 5, at least.
They've got at least one car in the top 5 the last two races. What did he do in Bahrain? I don't remember what he did in Bahrain.
You don't remember?
No.
Huh, well, talk to the guru in the second part of the show. He's got all the answers, Stephen. But still, no, the problem is, as Mercedes, you know, waits to become better, everybody else is getting better.
Yeah, it's
Formula One.
It's Formula One. Everybody's improving on a weekly basis, and you've got to improve just a little bit more every week to catch back up.
Exactly. Quickly, before we go to break, Jaime Alguersuari, and this has been in the press, I don't know, every day, and it's annoying, and I think it's almost, you know, razzing Michael Schumacher by, oh, yes, I've learned from Michael Schumacher. Oh, he has made me the best driver now ever. Just having him behind me for 14 laps has shown me the way. I've seen the light.
Huh? What? He's another driver. How come Lewis Hamilton behind him didn't do the same thing?
I don't know. It's Schumacher.
Yeah, I understand it. But I think this press has kind of blown this one out of proportion.
Yes. Well,
because,
the press,
you know, it was fine bringing it up after Australia, you know, when it happened. Okay. That was 2 weeks ago. Why are we still talking about that?
Well, he got 2 points last weekend, and they just can't. This Schumacher thing, he must have said something that got completely blown out of proportion. But, you know, Jaime Alguersuari, he's the one to watch, like Renault in the 80s.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. Quickly, before we start spinning the globe, of course, USF1 has now shut their doors, but I read that they're going to apply again for 2011
entry. Why not? It's only like a grand, isn't it?
I have no clue, but...
I'm sure he's still got, you know, a pile of...
Well, but when you have no credibility...
So what? He didn't have any credibility to start with, so he obviously writes a really good proposal.
Well, former GP2 team Durango has announced that it is applying for the 13th slot in the Formula One field next year, so they're lining up to get in.
We should get one of those copy of the application.
It's on their website.
Yeah, we'll pull it down, we'll fill it out, and we'll see if we can't get an F1 weekly team together. We'll just have to find someone to sponsor our application.
Really? Like the First National Bank
of F1 Weekly listeners.
Yeah, so I don't know, but we'll see what's happening. I hope USF1 never comes back. I don't want to hear it again.
If he comes back, I'm sure he's not going to come back as USF1.
Yeah, but anyway, Durango has good... see, they have credentials. They were formerly in Formula 3000, and they were also in Formula 3 and sports cars, so... Yeah. At least they're respectable. And that's the kind of stuff...
Well, so is Campos.
Exactly. So that's what I want to see applying for FIA Formula One entries.
Somebody who's been a team, who has some infrastructure in place already, you know, not somebody who's going to build it up from scratch who hasn't been in the sport for 10 years.
Exactly. And just good news, I have no Max Mosley news whatsoever, Stephen. Nothing.
Yay. There was Bernie news, though, but we won't talk about that.
Well, Bernie's good. I like Bernie. He was right.
Two races do not make a season.
Bernie is always right, Steve. You will learn one day. So anyway,
does that mean we're going to have boring races the rest of the season?
No, we're going to have exciting races. We've got China, and it's going to be fun. More rain. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial with Nasser. So stick around. We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more and see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the guru, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings, musical regards from Nina, and motorsport regards from Malasi, also known as Malaysia. And we shall start with some info on the Malaysian Grand Prix, which, just like you and many others, I enjoyed very much. Mark Webber's pole position was a second in a career, which started on home soil in 2002. Did you think he was going to win this race?
You know, that's a tough call. Mark Webber wins the difficult races, you know, with the drive-through penalty and things falling off, you know. But, you know, Sebastian Vettel is pretty pumped up. And when he's right behind you, it better be a perfect start or you're not going to win.
Yeah, what happened. Yeah, his problem now is his teammate. So what can you do? Nico Rosberg is 3-0. This is very impressive, I must say, in qualifying over Herr Schumacher. And this time was even more impressive as it was in the rain condition in which Michael used to reign. And you know, Norbert Hogg was asked about how, you know, Nico Rosberg is doing so well compared to Schumacher. He was asked if he's impressed. He was surprised. He says, no, I've known him for a long time. So it may be a surprise to others, not to me. So it's very good for Keke's kid.
Absolutely.
How can Ferrari and McLaren get it so wrong in Q1? I guess even the best are human. What I don't understand, and I always use this as a guinea pig example, do you remember the race, I believe it was the 2006 Chinese Grand Prix, when Fernando Alonso was brought in by Renault in the rain, intermediate condition, whatever it was, and they only changed two tires?
I remember that.
That you do in NASCAR. Change the, you know, the right sides only. But I mean, that was so basic stupidity. How can you do that?
They're human, Nasser.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, and with these, you know, like sometimes team hedge their bets. They send one guy, like what McLaren did with
On a reconnaissance lap.
Yeah, what they did with Hamilton, you know, in Australia, bring one guy earlier, so at least one of them will have a chance of winning. But this was a complete disaster
for McLaren and Ferrari.
And Ferrari of all the
it's
teams.
It's amazing how they both got it wrong.
Well, yeah. They're both getting new meteorologists for China.
Are they? You're serious? No way.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. You know, especially for Q1, why take the risk because you think you're going to get better track conditions?
And you have 20 minutes. You have more time.
Yeah. You know, go out there, get something in the bank to make sure that you're out of the session, because you don't want to have to start at the back of the pack.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Half of the drivers in Q3 were German nationals. The motorsport version of Operation Barbarossa is in full swing. You know what that is?
Yes, sir.
For those who are historically challenged, Operation Barbarossa featured daily flights to Moscow and Leningrad back in 1941 by Air Adolf. That was like on the hour, every hour. Pretty brutal campaign there. So I was thinking, when Vitaly Petrov starts winning, that will be called Operation Uranus, which was Stalin's returning the favor.
Okay, Ness.
Okay, we'll go back to motor racing.
Please.
Okay, Vettel has finally won a race and is looking very strong to depose Hamilton as the youngest world champion. But a lot of racing and cage rattling still to be done. Okay. Ferrari drivers are 1-2 in the championship. Weber and Button, this is just my personal opinion, they will be Nando's best friends this year, as they will take points every now and then from their respective teammates. And we all know how important even a single point can be. Nando knows, Hamilton knows. Even James Hunt, going back to 1976, realized the importance of the loneliest number. Would you like to see the championship go down to the final race with 4 or 5 drivers having a chance?
So lonely. Yeah, I like the final race stuff. Especially if Robert Kubica starts doing better, maybe a couple of wins. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We are back in time.
That is, yeah, very good. Massa leading the championship for the first time since 2008 with 39 points.
That was a good year for him.
Yeah, and Nando and Vettel are joined second, 2 points behind. Button and Rosberg both have 35 points each. And Hamilton is in the game too, 31 points.
And Robert Kubica has 30.
Yeah.
Amazingly enough.
Yeah. He's really showing his worth, you know. He's
absolutely.
Really,
yeah. And Renault has acknowledged it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They said that without his machismo-ness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I still need to find out how to say machismo in Polish, but I will.
Yeah. Maybe machiusowicz.
Something like that.
Oh, I work with half of the crowd I work with are from Polonia. Well, Polonia. I'll ask them.
Please.
Yeah, these are all ladies, and they're always telling me some words that may not be, that shall not be mentioned on the family podcast.
Not used in polite company.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to actually ask them, Charles Machismo in Polska. Two drivers scored their first career points, Jaime Alguersuari and Nico Hülkenberg. So good for them. In the Constructors' Championship, Ferrari leads with 76 points. McLaren second with 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. And Red Bull third with 61 points. Mercedes Grand Prix team gets their first podium since 1955, courtesy of Nico Rosberg. A very important
That's a pretty big stat.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very impressive.
That's before we were born, Nasser.
Yeah, yeah. Only three drivers made 2 stops, Barrichello, Buemi, and Kovalainen. Hispania Racing team had both cars finish the race. Karun Chanduk finished ahead of Bruno Senna, both in qualifying and race, which is good for him. And, you know, I interviewed Karun Chanduk 2 years ago in Barcelona, met his dad also. And I remember his dad is a mucky muck with the Indian Motorsports Federation. So I told him, you know, hey, I'm from the neighboring country. Moa would like to get an invitation to the Indian Grand Prix. He says, give me your business card. So I did. So I'm thinking of going to the Indian Grand Prix next year.
That'd be perfect. I heard the curry is going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Back home again in New Delhi. Okay. So that should be pretty good. Okay, my thanks to our listener, Christy Paul in Malaysia, for sending me some photos from the race, which we will put on the front page soon. So thank you, Christy. Hope you enjoyed the race. DC to DTM. How do you think he's going to do there?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be between him and Half Schumacher.
Oh, he's got maybe the... He'll finally find a Schumacher he can beat.
Yeah. It's good. No, DTM has got some great races at some great tracks.
Of course.
Including Dijon-Prenois.
Of course.
So the Duke of Dijon says, good for DC. I think it's good for race drivers. You know, I think he does a really good job on the BBC as a commentator.
Yeah, classy guy.
But, you know, a race driver is a race driver. You need to go out there and go fast.
And working for Mercedes is not a bad gig.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Is Catherine Legg still driving a DTM?
Oh, yeah. And so is Susie Stoddard. So 39-year-old Scott will drive for Mercedes in this year's championship. DC is the most successful British driver in F1 in terms of points scored, 535. He scored 13 Grand Prix victories and had 62 podium finishes in his 15 seasons of F1 racing, which is pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
And like you said, he will continue his work with BBC on their F1 coverage because there is no clashing dates. And, of course, the Beep coverage also includes Martin Brundle and Eddie Jordan.
And I like how they bring in Mike Gascoigne from Lotus every once in a while to comment on what's going on mm-hmm. in the race, why this happened, why that happened. So that's a good liaison they have with Mr. Gascoigne. Yeah, great stuff. BBC's quality.
Yeah. You've got final mail. According to Charlotte Business Journal, Ken Anderson...
No.
The Colin Chapman of North Carolina, in his and Peter Windsor's mind, has sent an email to all employees saying what was once USF1 has ceased operations due to serious economic and funding challenges. I would say more like serious bullshit issues.
Yeah, serious stealing.
Exactly. I hope they enjoy YouTube's Chad Hurley's investment of for more than 10 minutes. And that's the limit on YouTube.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Exactly. Then there is $800,000 from Jose Maria Lopez. That should help in building another Phantom F1 machine or another IndyCar Falcon. But I say F1 or IndyCars or any other series, his projects just don't fly. And like you said, I hope they never ever try to do anything in F1. I was talking to a gentleman who I will be interviewing in a couple of weeks who was instrumental in putting Peter Windsor and Ken Anderson in touch with Chad Hurley and other investors here in San Francisco. And he was telling me a little bit that, you know, there was some serious issues between Ken and Peter Windsor in the last meeting they held together at the office. And I'm thinking, you know, Peter Windsor probably will be at, you know, everybody has a story to tell. There are always two sides to the story. So I don't know for sure how badly Peter Windsor has been burned by this experience. He was the official mouthpiece and so was Speed TV. I have his email address and phone number. I will try to see if he's willing to talk to F1 Weekly in Barcelona.
Good chance, because we're sort of low on the radar.
Yeah, exactly.
He might think, you know, get lost.
We don't know what we're talking about.
Exactly. We know nothing about nothing. But we have day jibs.
Yes, we do. Okay, now we come to the Curse Crusade. Some teams are pushing Curse to come back. Some want standard Curse, and others have their own agenda. Best display of Curse was when Kimi had to use it to pass Fisichella in a Force India to win the Belgian Grand Prix last year. Sir Frank Williams said it best that with large fuel tanks and Curse on board, Formula One cars will be longer than a London bus. Oh dear. Do you want the Curse to come back?
No, to be honest with you, you know, and we live in California. I think all of us are fairly green-minded. I try to take public transportation or do whatever I have to do, even though I love my vintage cars. I only drive them when I have to.
And your 12-cylinder Chevy pickup.
Exactly. But still, I don't think that the perception of Formula One is going to be better if they've got curves or it's going to be greener. I think people watch Formula One because it's a sport and it's exciting. If I want to see green, I'll go look at my neighbor's Toyota.
Zoo. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't like these cars. I want these race cars to look like race cars.
Correct.
You know, I was watching on YouTube the other day some races from the 70s, Austrian Grand Prix, Italian. Those cars look beautiful, different designs. But this you know, green thing, I understand that, you know, and I can appreciate that. But, you know, there have to be some exception. This is a motor race. This is not a display of, you know, how to save the world. There are many other ways to save the world.
And there are other ways to go green. You make the engines more fuel efficient. If you really want to play green, you go, you guys get 50 gallons, run the race.
Cut the race by 5 laps. Every race in this world, if it's cut down by 5 laps, that will make a difference.
That's true. You know? But the other thing is, if they want curves to be developed maybe for street cars in the future, I think it should be done at a lower level, like a GP3 or something.
Yeah.
Where there you could be developing new drivers and some technology yeah. that we might be able to use.
Leave the kids alone.
Exactly. Thank you, Nasser.
Well, sure. Also you get a shorter race, which would make cars a little bit more, you know, it would give you kind of your push to pass.
Well,
you know, kind of thing. But ultimately, you know, if you want to go that way, make the car all electric.
Yeah.
You know, have an all electric Formula One to motorsport,
Steve.
And please shoot me.
Yeah.
I will sign an affidavit. This is mercy killing. That's the last thing I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, why? You know, torture is against the law.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell us. You cater the engines anyway.
Okay, let's talk about Eddie Irvine, the man who likes to talk. The one-time teammate to Michael Schumacher will be able to get more off his chest as he will have his own radio show on UK's Talk Sport Sunday evenings at 8 p.m.
He turned me down.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't want to do F1 Weekly.
Oh, that's
pretty sad. All those zeros just didn't...
Yeah.
Didn't head up.
Yeah. Now we come to British Formula 3, Oulton Park, or Oulton Park, if you're talking to Brian Redman. Looks like Viva La France has a new champion in the making. This could be a new hero.
Yep.
Jean-Éric Vergne has been the pace setter in preseason testing and took pole positions for the first two races to start the season. In race one, he was on his own from the start and gave Trevor Carlin's team the 100th British F3 win. Oliver Webb, who was local lad, was second. In race two, Rupert Swenson Rupert Swenson Cook was the winner over Daisuke Nakajima, and son of Satoru Nakajima. Jean-Éric Vergne was back on top in third and final race of the weekend with Oliver Webb second again. And you know, I like the format with the British F3 this year. They are doing three races per weekend. So you get a lot of action for you.
And this Jean-Éric Vergne, I like him.
You do?
Yep. I just want him to do a couple of things. Get a new sponsor.
Why?
I think he should go with Perrier and then change his name to Jean Gérard.
No. J-E. J-E Gérard. But anyway, Van, who is supported by Red Bull, leads the championship with 50 points. Webb is second on 33. And you know this very, very talented Brazilian kid, Felipe Nasser, who dominated the Formula BMW Europe last year. He is in this series, and he's been struggling in qualifying. So he has only done 1 year of motor racing in Formula BMW. So he may have bitten more than he can chew this year, but he is very talented, and Raikkonen Robertson, people are behind him. So I think, you know, he will be a force in a year or two. Now we come to Formula Renault UK at Thruxton. Kiss of success. Race 1 of season opener was won by Hungarian driver Tamás Pál Kiss, or Kiss. If I'm butchering the name, apologies. Local laddies Will Stevens, who had a very successful karting career, was second, and Harry Tinknell, friend of F1 Weekly, was third after starting seventh. And this is the kid who came to Bakersfield, California 3 years ago and did some testing in Formula BMW. Will Stevens won the second race, and Tinknell was third again. And Will Stevens was extremely successful and made a big name for himself in karting. So we wish everybody all the best. Next, we come to Crossing Jordan in the World Rally Championship. Second victory in three events this year for Sebastian Loeb in a Citroën. And the hands go up for Mr. Rogers. Jari Matti Latvala was second in his Ford Focus. There was a Citroën in eighth place also, driven by Little Kimi, who has now earned his first WRC points after several rollover Beethoven overtures in previous events. And rumors are already flying that he will be back in F1 with Red Bull next season, which should not be a problem as long as the Austrian company make a slight change to the slogan, like Red Bull gives you vodka.
It could happen.
He will sign on the dotted line right away.
They'll have to throw in maybe some shares of Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, keep in mind, they are going to some hot races.
Yeah, I heard that when he was in Jordan, he couldn't find the ice cream.
Why is that?
Distressed.
Really? They don't have coconut ice cream there?
No. Citroën has no ice cream dispensers.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Lady Kubica, 20-year-old Natalia Kowalska, will race in this year's F2 Championship. In 2008, she also raced in Star Mazda here in the U.S. and has raced in Formula Renault in Europe. And you know, this interesting thing is, since Bernie and this people who run Bruno Michel launched the GP3 series, that has really made a big dent in other series. F3 Euro series this year has only 13 drivers, and this was considered the premier F3 series. Everybody has bailed out. And if you look at the F2 championship, most of the drivers who should be there are in GP3.
Well, GP3 definitely sucked
the talent.
A lot of talent, sponsorship, and money.
Yeah.
It's a big series. It follows the Formula One circus.
Yeah,
and when you follow the Formula One circus, that's where the money's at.
Yeah. GP3, talking of GP3, the battle royale that is developing between ART team. Am I going too fast?
I think you're fine, Nasser.
You sure?
Yeah, I'll slow down the audio tape.
Okay, thank you, sir. The battle royale that is developing between ART teammates Alexander Rossi and Esteban Gutierrez this season continued in the second test session at Paul Ricard last week. On day one, Gutierrez was fastest in both morning and afternoon sessions, while Rossi had the upper hand in the afternoon session on day two. In the shootout, Rossi was the quickest over Gutierrez, so his car will carry number one in the inaugural season. Very good for Alexander Rossi, and my congratulations to him. And this means that ART cars will be numbered 1, 2, 3. All teams are required to have three cars. And interestingly, the team will also have the same numbers in GP2 and F3 Euro series. Their main guy in GP2 is Jules Bianchi, and big hope in F3 Euro series is the new Williams test driver from Finlandia, Valtteri Bottas. Very nice kid. I met him last year, and I wish him all the best. The series will be televised in Europe on Motors TV. In the UK, it is available on Sky Channel 413 and Virgin Media 545. Now, you may wonder if this is going to be in the US. If Speed TV gets the right, then I think what they will do is probably preempt this with Larry McReynolds' All-Star Barbecue or Carl Edwards' Kentucky Fresh Roadkill.
Well, you know, those are pretty good shows, Nasser.
Or Fast Track to Fame.
Have you ever watched NASCAR Behind Headlights? They have a program for every moment, I swear, for NASCAR.
Well, my favorite is what NASCAR drivers' pets eat at noon.
Oh, really?
Yes. Outstanding stuff.
Before the warm-up.
Exactly.
Wow. Though I did see that they were actually running an Australian V8 series
race. 2 in the morning? So you were up at 2 in the morning?
No, it was like midnight and of course, like 9 a.m. or something like that. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm at work or I'm asleep.
Yeah. Well, something is better than nothing, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. I really hope, you know, Motors TV or some, like the guy, Roger Werner, the guy who started Speed Vision. I mean, this is a big country. This country needs a motorsports channel devoted to road racing. The cars are turning right on that.
Yeah.
Nothing against oval racing or NASCAR, but
and I know you like oval racing, Nasser.
I do like it. I do follow it.
You're a ostrich egg kind of guy.
Yeah, but what I just don't want, you know, if there's a motorsports show, it should have other, you know, programs also too. I mean, you look at the history of Can-Am racing in this country, Trans Am from the late 60s. I mean, this was serious business.
Sure.
And I would love to watch those old races. You know, Donnybrook and Kent and Washington.
Those are great concepts, Nasser, but the problem is big companies that sell M&M's, Tide, Viagra, and the U.S. Army don't want to pay for those programs.
So maybe the U.S. Army should. Let us show you a race in Mozambique.
Yeah, perfect.
Tomorrow we liberate Mozambique.
Exactly.
Okay, you know, they used to have races in Mozambique. Also.
Of course.
Lorenzo Marx Grand Prix.
You can't make this stuff up.
Oh, this is all serious business.
This is an educational program as well.
Educational.
Exactly.
Yeah, the M is for motorsports. Formula BMW Europe. They were testing this week at Silverstone, and Carlos Sainz Jr. has been very quick along with Robin Freins of Netherlands. And I am hoping to do an interview with Senor Sainz, the Pepito in Barcelona, next month. He should be there. You know, I was a huge Carlos Sainz fan when he was rallying. He was driving a Toyota. And it'll be nice to meet him. You know, I haven't done a lot of interviews with rally drivers, but I'm, you know, I started motorsports interest with rallying before I discovered Formula 1. So it'll be nice to meet him. MotoGP, really looking forward to this. The 2010 season starts under the lights in Qatar this weekend at Losail Circuit. Casey Stoner has won the last three races here. The 37-year-old Italian rider Loris Capirossi will set a new record in Qatar. He will be the first GP rider to record 300 race starts. And this will be his 21st season of racing on two wheels. So all we need now is a four-legged Capirossi. So my request is to Mr. Carter, Larry Carter, to keep an eye.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just scanning the paper right now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, talking of Speed TV, I just read on their website that they will broadcast MotoGP races live. Previously, they were 4 or 5 hours delayed in high definition.
Speed TV?
Yeah, so kudos to them.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just read this
on
their
website. The American Speed TV? The Alsatian Speed TV?
No, the American Speed TV from Charlotte, North Carolina.
The
Skunk Works.
Man, yeah.
Oh boy. That was something. Skunk Works. It's really smelling like Skunk Works too.
It still smells.
Yeah. Oh, this hit very close to home. Stock car racing news. Normally, apart from NASCAR, we don't have the time to cover other things.
You don't delve into the deep angles
No, I do. I do watch when they show if I have time. You know, there's always talent coming through different arenas. I mean, Jeff Gordon came through, you know, short track.
Oh, yeah.
Track.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there's no problem. It's just a time issue, you know.
Yeah, oh, I understand.
But this time, some news from the ARCA Remax series. Headline is Homie on High Banks. My man from Karachi, Noor Ali, who drove for Team Pakistan in A1GP, will race on April 16th in the Rattlesnake 150 at Texas Motor Speedway. The question is, when he spins, will we have the world premiere of Karachi Kaushin?
Keep up the good work, Mass.
Okay, with that we come to famous last words. And today they come from Giorgio Ascanali of Toro Rosso team. He used to be at McLaren with Gerhard Berger as engineer. And he said, and I quote, "Malaysian rain is like English tea. It comes around 5 and it's the same temperature." End of quote.
That's legit.
I'm pretty sure. I had a friend once, you know, he worked in Panama. And he says to me, he was there for about a couple of years. And he said, the thing about that city is it rains every day. He said, it may rain for half an hour, it may rain for 30 seconds, but every day it rains in that city. And then one day recently, like last year, I took a phone call and one of our customers was calling from overseas. So I said, where are you calling from? He says, I'm in Panama City right now. I said, is it raining? He says, yeah, matter of fact, it is. So a lot of these places, it just rains and rains.
They're rainforests.
And Malaysia, I was looking forward to a rain race because they said, you know, it will rain.
And there you go.
It was a dry race. Now, serious matter. Order in the house. Briatore to face barristers. Flavio is being sued by Pepito and Nelsinho Piquet for issuing a press release while still at Renault, accusing the Piquets of giving false statements to FIA and trying to blackmail the team. You remember that?
I do, but isn't this getting a little old?
It is. As time has proven, Flavio's accusations hit a brick wall, but so did Nelsinho before that. The Piquet family is being represented by Dominic Crossley, and you may ask yourself, who is this high-priced lawyer? Dominic also represented Max Mosley in his case against News of the World. And you know what happened there? Yes. But I'm no legal expert, but I hear Dominic can whip up a strong case.
Thank you, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, as usual.
You're welcome, and I rest my case.
Thank you very much. I say case dismissed. So anyway, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back.
Oh man, case dismissed. I was looking forward to be chained. No, not today.
Spank, spank. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And once again, the forum updates deadline has been missed.
Didn't make press time.
Well, I think everybody's on vacation. It's sort of like...
Everybody's kind of down-pressing from two weekends in a row.
Which is fine. Get us the forum updates when you can. But we've gotten a lot of new members, a lot of stuff happening on the forum. It's very exciting.
It's crazy.
Desiree was back on the forum. It's good stuff. So anyway, we'll jump right to a quick email. And this is from Jerry Flowers. Slow the freaking audio tape down. Can the reverb. You guys are obviously already high and talk so fast and over one another that you cannot be understood. You are not funny either. Sound like rank amateurs. Do you have day jibs? That's from Jerry Flowers.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate email in all forms.
That was beautiful. I couldn't even do this myself. That was beautiful, Jerry. Thank you very much. We appreciate all emails. I mean...
Yeah.
It's been a while since we had our digital sling and arrows.
Absolutely. So. And you know what?
Keeps us straight, at
least.
Well,
it's true, though, that NASCAR is just an audio tape. You actually never come into the studio.
But I do have a...
And we have that old reel-to-reel that, you know, the potentiometers never work for the
never.
Speed.
Never. And so it's always peaking, you know. 16 decibels or something.
It's always on the edge of fast forward.
Yeah, and we don't try to be funny on this program.
Funny.
Yeah.
Maybe you should call the show Martin Mull Motorsports Hour.
Ooh, I love Martin Mull. It's the Steve Martin Mull Show. Okay, there you have it. Thanks very much. But we'll try to get those forum updates by next week. Maybe we'll get somebody else to start writing them. Like Dez.
Da-da-da-da.
But anyway, it was good to have Dez back on the forum. She's pretty pumped up. Anyway, San Francisco Formula One group, a great bunch of guys, and they raffle off photos from Paul-Henri Caillé and other good stuff, and t-shirts, good guys. And whenever we have a special here, they'll mention it at one of their meetings. So go to sff1.com. And check out when they'll be meeting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. They're now sponsored by Redline Oil, which is quality product. If you want to check them out, just go to marincarting.com or you can give them a call, 415-898-0999, just like the band. We want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites. Do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcasts, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who makes this possible by listening. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.